Well, last week we read from the first three verses of Ephesians 4 that the Apostle Paul, having been imprisoned for the sake of the gospel, was urging, was imploring, was encouraging the Ephesians and encouraging you and encouraging me to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, that our lifestyle should match our life calling. And in those first few verses, he gave us some characteristics associated with the worthy life. The life worthy of the calling. Five characteristics or indicators of that life that's worthy of the call. And here they are. You can go to those next ones. Two more. We have some latency going on. There we go. The five indicators of the life that's worthy of the calling that we've received. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and unity. That word humility from a biblical perspective means seeing ourselves as not rising far off the ground. Gentleness is mildness of disposition. We tend to be spicy sometimes, but God says we're supposed to be gentle or in mild disposition. Patience, as we learned last week, means that anger is a long way off from where we are. That's what it means to be biblically patient. And forbearance in love is the act of putting another up. Not just putting up with somebody, not just tolerating them in that sense, but putting someone up. Bearing with one another means to hold somebody up when they're wrestling, when they're struggling. That's what this means from the scripture. And finally, unity. Unity meaning a commonness of call, a commonness of purpose and labor. So that was last week. And before we move on to this morning's message, I just wanted to add this one final declaration that Paul makes in Ephesians 4, verses 3 to 6. On the heels of his call for unity, he says, there is one body. There is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were all called into one hope when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in and through all and in all. We are members of a common body. And I think we forget it sometimes. We are members of one body, and we do well to remember it. What if we did? What if we remembered that at all times? What would it look like? Things like gossip would disappear if we remembered that we're one body. Things like backbiting would be gone. Did you ever notice you can't bite your own back? If you're members of one body, I would not be trying to bite my own back. Did you ever get offended by yourself? If you're like me, you have probably. I've offended myself before. You ever stub your toe or hit your hand with a hammer? Or Thursday, I was running through the woods with Tyler Conklin and Brandon Kemper and Christian Beasley. We're running through the woods, and I slipped, and I reached out to catch myself, and I almost broke my wrist. My wrist was swollen. It's sprained right now. I offended myself, right? But as time goes on, you usually get over it. I'm not mad at myself anymore for slipping in the woods on Thursday. The strange thing is, if someone else hit my thumb with a hammer, or someone else hurt me in some way or did something regrettable, I have this easy way of forgiving myself and getting over it when it's my body, right? But I have this way of remembering it and recalling it and letting people be reminded of when they hurt me that time. I'll never let you hear the end of it, right? I could hit my knee on a pew and forget about it, but if somebody else pushes me into the pew, well, I'm going to let you hear about it for the rest of your life. But if we remember that we're one body, it would be, offenses would be so much more easily dispersed. A lot fewer arguments if we remembered that we are one body. You can't bite your own back because it's one spirit who unites us in a common call, one hope in Christ into which we're all called, same spirit, same hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father who is over, through, and in all. Amen? We're one body. Can you say one body this morning?
One body.
One body. And that gives us some context for verses 29 to 32 that we're going to look at this morning in a message entitled, Only What Is Helpful. Only What Is Helpful. We're advised in this text to build each other up with the words that we speak. So let's read that from Ephesians 4, starting in verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, tender-hearted, one version says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Father in heaven, once again we ask you, Lord, to give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church. We ask that you'd open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits up to you, to your Spirit today, Father. Would you implant your word in our hearts so that our minds and our lives and our words would be transformed? In Jesus' name, let it be, Lord. Amen. So I want to look at that this morning, just for a few minutes. The words that we speak and the words that we communicate to others. As this scripture says right here, we ought to speak only that which is helpful. Only what is helpful. That'd be a great litmus test for the words that leave our lips. Only what is helpful. What if we truly took this to heart and only spoke words that were helpful towards building up other people? We read last week to bear with one another, and that's echoed here, to build others up. And he says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. I looked up this word no in the Greek. Guess what it means? It means no. It means none, zero, zilch. Let this much unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. None. The Greek word for unwholesome means corrupt, bad, or of poor quality. So as a believer whose lifestyle befits the life call, you and I are supposed to speak words of good quality, of a higher quality, not words of poor quality. Speak quality words to one another. And if we couple that with our study from the book of James a few weeks ago, our words are supposed to be quality words and not quantity words. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Think about that ratio for a second. Twice as much listening as talking. You might even wait to speak. You don't have to speak first. In fact, you might even not speak at all. Think about it. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Paul says, only speak if your words are helpful, not hurtful, not unwholesome. Don't let any unwholesome words of poor quality come from your mouth. Are you with me this morning? Anybody with me this morning? Can't hear you through those masks, man. You got to shout it out. What if we actually did this, in these times especially? Think about it. If we included not just our words, but all the words that we communicate, not just what we say with our mouths, but the things that we post, the text messages that we send, everything that we communicate, if we let no unwholesome communication come from us. What if we communicated only that which is helpful? There are three tests in the scripture for the words that we speak, write, or communicate to others, and here they are. Everything we communicate ought to be helpful for building up others, according to the need of others, and benefiting others. I see a theme. The words that I communicate should be helping, according to the need of, and beneficial to others. What this would transform our relationships. If we actually communicated according to this test, if I said anything that's going to leave my lips is going to be helpful and beneficial and according to the need of somebody else instead of according to me and my need. So then the three questions we should ask before, would you say before this morning? Before we speak, ask these questions. Is what I'm going to say helpful to somebody else? Does it meet someone else's need? Will it benefit someone else? Or is it only for myself or some other motive? And if the answer to these questions is no, then maybe you shouldn't speak it or post it or write it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Mark records him saying this, a good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings forth evil things from the evil stored up in his heart. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So it's not just about the words that we say, but since the heart leads what we say and the words that we say emanate from the heart, this is a heart issue this morning. Jesus asked the Pharisees, how can you speak good things when you're evil? If there's a good root, there'll be good fruit on the branch, right? If the heart is good, Jesus is saying, good words will overflow out of the mouth. If the words coming out of the mouth aren't good, we need to check our heart. If it's complaining, if it's gossip, if it's backbiting, we need to check our hearts. Can't just say the right words. Christians have done that for millennia. Oh, just say the right words. Follow the right protocol. That's good enough. No. It has to emanate from the heart. And if the heart is a right heart, the right words will come out. If I'm saying the wrong words, I don't just need to change the words I say. I need to check my heart before God. Helpful words come from a healthy heart. My mouth issue is really a heart issue. And these two, the heart and the mouth, they usually have an inverse correlation, don't they? They're usually inversely correlated. If I have a big mouth, well, I probably don't have very much heart. Right? If I need a lot of words to say, man, maybe I should be tending to my heart a little more to bring it back into balance. You ever notice that somebody with strong words needs to cultivate their heart a little bit more? Think of the life of Christ. People with lots of heart usually don't have so many words that they have to say. Jesus was so at peace, his heart was so at peace in the face of accusation, he answered not a word. Not just accusation, false accusations. How many of us could have our hearts so at peace, so at rest and trusting in the Father, that not only could someone accuse us, they could falsely accuse us and we'd be willing to hold our peace? That's the expression, right? Hold your peace. Just stay at peace, even when someone has something else to say. It's a heart issue. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, Paul says. Did you know you and I have the ability to grieve the Holy Spirit? Think of it. The Spirit of the God of this universe, Creator God of all, Lord of heaven and earth, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You know that? That word means to affect with sadness, to offend, to throw into sorrow. I can throw the Spirit of God into sorrow? Paul says, be careful that you don't do that. And he doesn't say you do it with murdering or stealing. He doesn't say that we grieve the Spirit by wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, or by skipping church. You might grieve your pastor if you skip church. I don't know that you'll grieve the Holy Spirit. You'll have to ask him about it. But the scripture tells us right here that you grieve the Holy Spirit when you speak words that aren't helpful, aren't needed, and aren't beneficial to others. Words that are hurtful, words that are tearing down instead of building up. Words that are unwholesome and don't give grace to the hearer. That's what one translation says. Speak words that give grace to the hearer. Too many times, instead of others, our words are about me, mine, my problems, my issue. I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. Here's the way I think things ought to be. My problems. What if your words and my words towards others were more about their concerns, more about their needs, their problems, instead of me and mine? How would marriages change? How would this church change if our words were a lot less about me and a lot more about others? If we truly regarded and esteemed others, the hearers, as being above ourselves, that's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for us. His words and his actions weren't about himself. It was about you. He spoke words that were beneficial, that were helpful, that were according to the need of others. Not just about saying the right words. Once again, he says, no, this is a heart issue. Do our words accurately reflect our hearts, and do we value our words? I can only value your word as much as you do. If I don't value my word, if I don't keep my word, you have no reason to place any value on the words that I say. If I say something and I go back on it, or I don't do what I said I was going to do, then my words are worthless. That's unwholesome talk. And we're not supposed to let any unwholesome talk come from our mouths. Poor quality. Every word of the Lord is faithful and true. So few people's words are reliable these days, in this day of fake news, in this day where people are speaking just for themselves and about themselves. God's words are faithful and true. Are my words faithful and true as his are? And finally, Paul says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. He says, just put it all away. He doesn't say put it away from your mouth. He says put it away from you. Christians are really good. Church folk are really good at saying these right words sometimes. But he says, no, you have to put all this away from you, from your heart, from your person. It's not just saying magic words. It's not just saying the right Christian-sounding phrases. He says, put all this stuff away from you, away from your heart, man, because if you're over here, your words, your mouth is going to follow. And you're going to speak words that build up and that benefit others. Once again, words that we speak are an issue of the heart. In fact, they originate from and in the heart. So we have to put bitterness and slander away from our hearts. Healthy hearts produce helpful words. David said, his word is in my heart, Psalm 119. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. His word in our hearts keeps our lips from unwholesome talk. David knew that the key to doing the right things and saying the right things emanated from having a right heart, one in which the word of God was hidden or implanted. I've hidden your word in my heart. It's been implanted. It's buried in there so that my mouth utters things that are wholesome, that are helpful, that are needed, that are beneficial, with the hearer in mind. And I hope that we're seeing the value of our words this morning in terms of the motivation and the method. I pray that we will. You know, this could seem like a rudimentary message, but I promise you, your life and every relationship that you have and this church and this community around you would be transformed if we spoke words that benefited, that helped, and that were according to the need of the people around us instead of just ourselves. And in closing, there's one more aspect to this speaking only what is helpful, and that's forgiveness. Verse 32 says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you, somehow the Holy Spirit of God is tying forgiveness into the words that we say. He's connecting these themes of the heart and the words that we say and the forgiveness and being tender-hearted, he says. Be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. If you want to speak words that are helpful, needed, and beneficial, then you need to be kind, have a tender heart, and forgive. Because if you're hard, if your heart becomes hard, if you do not forgive, unwholesome words are sure to come from your mouth. And the Lord says, don't let any come out. Please, please take this word to heart. I'm begging you. Don't walk away from this message. Let's not walk away and start complaining about masks or discomfort, or walk away from this and start talking about somebody else or trying to bite our own back. There's one body. Jesus laid down his life for us. Can't we just respond to that kindness by speaking words that build up others rather than tear down? But it begins with the heart. Would you take a few moments right now just to tend to your heart? Maybe someone needs to repent from words that they've said that were tearing down instead of building up. Maybe somebody with a heart that's become hardened over time from the pains and the disappointments of life needs to say, Lord, would you help me to have a tender heart today so that they can choose to forgive and choose to start speaking words that are beneficial, that are helpful. Father, would you help us? We can't just try harder and do better. Lord, it takes work and effort and cooperation with you, but it takes your Holy Spirit in us. Would you move in our hearts, Father? Would you take the heart that is hard and help it to become tender again? And Lord, where repentance is needed, Father, I pray each of us would turn to you. Not just try to say the right words, but turn to you so that we could respond with kindness and tender-hearted forgiveness and speak words that build up, words that edify. For your glory, Father, and for what's possible. Help us to believe you for what's possible. I don't think there's any way that we reach our full potential as individuals, as families, as households, or as a church when there's unwholesome talk coming from our mouths. The only chance we have to reach the potential to which God has called us as individual people, as fathers and mothers, as families, and as a community church, is if we respond with our heart to this word of the Lord. Help us, Father, to be slow to speak. Help us, Father, to be quick to listen. Help us, Father, to speak only what is helpful. In Jesus' name, let it be, Father, for your glory and for our good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we're dismissed this morning? I pray, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Amen.